You're listening to Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. Stay connected by rating, subscribing, and commenting on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And now for this week's episode. Hey guys, it is Eva, and I am here with this week's episode. I am super excited because we are talking some early finales, and since we're talking early finales, that means we are gearing up towards our mid-season finale episode, which you guys know is one of my favorite episodes to do. We're going to be discussing the series finale of The Last Ship and the finale of the first season of You on Lifetime. Before we get into talking some early finales, sad news, Stan Lee, like Marvel legend, creator of some of our favorite Marvel content and heroes and all that good stuff, passed away today. And you guys know I am like a huge Marvel fan, more so the TV and TV shows and movies. But I mean, there would be no TV shows or movies without Stan Lee himself. So sending out condolences to his family. He is definitely a legend, and it's exciting to see that everything that he built will continue to live on. And yeah, so thought I'd put that out there since this did happen on a day that I actually happened to be recording. And speaking of my recording schedule, we're just going to get this out here, like all the little things and notes and things that I need to make sure I say. So you guys know officially that this podcast is a bi-weekly podcast, but you probably noticed lately that you've been getting a new episode like every week. So unofficially, I'm trying to put out content weekly, but we're still going to officially be bi-weekly just because we're gearing up for holiday and all that stuff. So I'm sure that I will not do every single week once we get full-fledged into the holiday season. But for now, unofficially, I'm going to try to put out content every week just because this is usually around the time where a lot of stuff starts happening and it's just easier to put things out as they happen. So all that said, let's get into this episode. I am so excited. So we are talking one show that I've been watching every single season and I've raved about previously because I didn't even think that I would actually watch this show when it first came out, because it's called The Last Ship. It's very, I always say The Last Ship to me is very pro-America. It's based on a book series that I never even read, but I believe it's a series, but I never read the book. And it's like a post-apocalyptic, oh my gosh, I'm like messing up words here, guys. Sorry. But it's like one of those where pretty much the world has been in disarray and they're trying to find a way to survive. So season one, it's been 5 seasons. This is the 5th and final season that I'm going to discuss. But every single season, the Nathan James and Tom Chandler and crew had to face some type of battle throughout the seasons. And this season was no different. So I'm going to be realistic here. I'm one of those people who think that The Last Ship could have ended maybe 1 to 2 seasons ago, but I am happy that they were able to wrap the series all together because not many shows get that chance to do that because usually they'll get canceled before they get the opportunity to do it. So I'm very excited that they were able to do that. But let's just talk about the season overall. Like I said, every single season, they are facing some type of life-threatening situation. Before, it's been diseases and opposing forces, but this time, it was all-out war. So it was a little bit different where it was essentially they were trying to stop a country from trying to get to America, so or the U.S. So not gonna lie, for me, this was an okay season. What I did really appreciate in The Last Ship, one of the things that I've always said is when they do action, they do action. And you know, if Michael Bay is involved, then you're like, it's going to be a lot of explosions, blah, 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 blah. But this show, the fight scenes, the combat scenes, all that stuff is just really good. And this season, it was so good. They were on another level. It just makes you feel like you're inside real combat. Even like the finale episode, that final combat when they were on the beach or whatever, there was just a lot going on. So that I will say has remained consistent throughout. This season, since it is the final season, and we all go into this knowing that it is the final season, we lost a lot of people, or they were badly injured, and we lost quite a few core people this season. Like almost every episode, I don't think every episode, but almost every episode, someone died. And some people were, I was like, but I mean, you have to be realistic because they've made it through some things that they probably should not have made it through. So to even be in season 5 and still walking around kicking and talking in real life probably wouldn't have happened. But they did make it to season 5. So to start seeing a lot of them fall, I mean, it's realistic, but it still hurt. It was very emotional. I mean, we opened the season with multiple deaths out the gate. And I was just like, oh my gosh. So that happened. So I appreciate that we didn't end the season with everyone surviving. They did not kill Chandler off. I, for a split second, thought that they were going to do it in our final scene with Chandler. Because then we had this like purgatory type of a scene where he's being saluted by a bunch of Marines who had been, or who had passed in previous seasons, and he got to see people who we haven't seen for a few seasons, like Tex, who passed in season 3, who was also one of my faves when he showed up on the scene. But yeah, so that was like a weird scene where I was like, okay, what is happening here? Are you going to kill him? Are you not going to kill him? But then I was like, okay, they're not going to kill him. He's going to miraculously survive this boat explosion. But yeah, so that was that. Overall, after the show ended, side note, The Last Ship is going to be a short little spiel for me because I want to get to you and The Last Ship. I mean, for the most part, they've stayed consistent. I've enjoyed the show. I'm happy they got to wrap up this entire series. But I will say, when it ended and how it ended, with Chandler like popping up above the water and then everyone being like, yes, he's alive, and then it's like the end, I was like, okay. I mean, but the showrunner Steve Kane did say that the show has always been about hope, and that's what they wanted the finale to show, that even if you're going through all of these difficult things and these dark moments, if you see the light, you follow the light, you can get pulled out of it. So, I mean, kudos for hope, but it still was like, okay, the end. So, yeah. So that was The Last Ship. I will say, though, so they had like this amphibious landing sequence, and the U.S. Marines actually let the crew shoot during a scheduled live drill. And so they did two shoots. They did one in April, and then they reshot in the fall. And then some of the Marines who were off when they were shooting actually stepped in as extras. So I think that's pretty cool. Like I said, this show to me has always been very pro-America. So I am not surprised that the show lasted as long as it did. And yeah, so I mean, that's really much all I have to say about The Last Ship. It was a good run. And that is that. So let's move into you, because I am so excited to talk about you. Now, if you listen to my fall TV preview episode, then you know that I had some things that I wanted to see, some things that I didn't want to see, and I'm going to get into all of that, but I just had to do this because we're going to have a crazy moment here. Now, every single time, because it's called You, and spoiler alert, they use you so much throughout this show, just almost every other sentence, especially when we're inside Joe's head, like Joe's doing his narrative monologue or whatever, he's always like, it's for you and you and you. And so because of that, it always makes me start singing this song in my head, which I am going to play a little clip of. So get ready. It's you. You guys, I'm not kidding at all. Like, every single time I would hear "You," Zane would start playing in my head. I am not kidding. So I just thought I would do that because now I wanted to get into your head. But playtime's over. Let's actually talk about this show. So, like I said in my fall preview episode, I talked about a bunch of shows and I had them all in sections. I had what we know, what I'm looking forward to, and what I don't want to see. So we knew going into this that this was a book. This show was based off a book series by Carolyn Kepnes, which the first book is entitled You. The second book is entitled Hidden Bodies. I'm not sure if there's going to be another book just based off of how the second book ended. She could do another book, especially since now she has this show. But so there are two books. And we also knew that Greg Berlanti was behind this. So I was expecting great things to come out of this. And we also talked a little bit about how Penn Badgley initially did not want to play the role of Joe, but he eventually ended up taking on the role. And you guys know I was super excited that he ended up being Joe Goldberg, because Penn Badgley, to me, if I was to, because he never even crossed my mind reading the books, but hearing his name, I'm like, oh my gosh, he is the perfect Joe, and the perfect Joe he was. I think Penn Badgley embodied and embraced Joe to the fullest, and I completely appreciate that. So that's what we knew going into this. What I was looking forward to was seeing how this translated to the screen. Being that I had already read the book and knowing that the first season was going to be based mostly, probably loosely on the first book, and they were already renewed for a second season. The second season was going to in some way be based on the second book. So knowing that, I was also expecting some people to die based on who died in the book. And for the most part, everyone who died in the book died on the show, except cliffhanger, spoiler alert, surprise, someone ended up not being dead at the end of all of this, which we're going to get to that in a minute. What I didn't want to see was the story, because the story is so insane, like reading this story versus watching this story, you guys, is two completely different things. And I'm also going to talk about that, because reading this in book form, I was irritated, frustrated with Joe and with Beck a lot, to the point where it was unbearable. I did not like either character at all. But I guess we could talk about it now. But in the show, I do feel like they made Beck, I still was like, she was still more unbearable than Joe. And I feel like they made Joe, they gave him a little more, I want to say, is it humanity? They made him feel a little more human than in the book. Cause in the book, in the show, he seems like a sociopath, a psychopath, whatever, all those paths he seemed like in both the book and the show. But in the show, due to some of the things they added in the show versus the book, he comes off being more, not relatable, but you have feel like you care about what happens to Joe. And you also kind of feel bad for Joe, even like, especially in the finale when he has Beck in the cage and he's kind of talking about hinting at his past and pretty much laying out a picture of kind of probably how he got to how he is now. You do kind of a little bit feel bad for him, more so than you feel for Beck, who's stuck and locked in the cage, which is weird. So I felt some type of way about that. Not gonna lie. But yeah. So as far as that, I don't think that it went too ridiculous, like how in the book it made me feel, but they did give a little more humanity to these characters in the show versus the book. Also, I said that I didn't want seasons to go past 3 seasons, but I mean, we're only in season 1 and we've already been renewed for season 2. So at this point, we don't know if there will even be a season 3. But I also said that when we end the season, we should be done with a good chunk of the characters in book 1, which is what happens. But surprise, surprise, Candace is still alive. Which I think is a very interesting twist, because this is where it gets hard, because I have read the books and I don't want to give away spoilers. But so we're going to keep this hidden body spoiler free, but we're for sure going to spoil you, since for the most part, everything that happened in the book happened on the show. For the most part, there was some things that were different. So I'm not going to spoil Hidden Bodies, but there will be spoilers for you. So based on what happens in Hidden Bodies and how Joe ends up in LA, because we already know that, like, everyone said this, it's out there on the internet, so you can find this. Everyone has said that season 2 will be based in LA. So in Hidden Bodies, Joe does go to LA. So based on that, and based on how he gets to LA, I don't know how Candace fits into this. And I am very interested to see what they do with her. If she's just an extra person in the Hidden Bodies storyline, or, because I know they're not going to do like Hidden Bodies verbatim, or if they're still going to have the characters. Because they did say, I was reading an article, and they did say that we're still going to LA and we will still see some characters and situations from Hidden Bodies. So the main person in Hidden Bodies, do we still see that person, like the other main person, or is Candace going to then become kind of like a blend of that person? Because where has Candace been all this time? Because we were under the assumption that Joe killed her, which apparently he didn't. He only killed his her lover, if you will. But he did not kill her. So where has she been all this time? Because he's had her phone and he's been posting for her as if she's been overseas in London. So where has she been? Did they come to some arrangement or agreement and she was just like, take my phone? Like, I just want to know what happened. I'm like, now I have to wait an entire year to find out what happened with Candace, because this is just so weird. Like, did they make an agreement? He was like, I'm not going to kill you. And she's like, well, I'm just going to go away. Or has she been in hiding this whole time? But if she's been in hiding, why is she showing up now? And let's talk about these Instagram photos, because even when I was watching it, I was like, that looks pretty real and pretty convincing. So again, did they make an arrangement and then she just changed her name and Joe already knew that she was actually really living in London? But then if that's the case, or Paris or wherever it was they said she was, but if that's the case, why did he look surprised when she showed up? So many questions. I have so many questions. So yeah. That is Candace. I feel like I could go on forever trying to figure out what has been going on with Candace for the past however many years, because she is still alive. For someone who has read the book, that was the most surprising thing that has happened this entire season. To be honest, that is the most exciting and surprising thing that has happened this entire season. What else? Let's talk about Paco, because Paco is not in the book. And I think that Paco really adds to, now I finally have the word, really adds to humanizing Joe. So Paco wasn't in the book, but he is in the show. And the way that his relationship with Joe is, one, in a way that Joe is kind of like that father figure in his life in a way, because Paco doesn't half a father figure. He's being raised by his mother, and she's in an abusive relationship with this guy who treats Paco like crap. So the only person who seems to care about his well-being outside of his mother when she's in her right mind is Joe. So Joe will bring him books. Joe will watch him. We also get another character that we didn't get in the book when Joe gets a new girlfriend during the break that him and Beck have. And so she gets looped into caring about Paco. And it's just like, you add a kid into a show and you have the person who we're kind of not supposed to be rooting for actually genuinely love the kid, then it's kind of hard to view that person in a bad light. Because it's like one scene, he's being super creepy and stalky. In another scene, he's murdering someone. But then the next scene, he's having this super sweet moment with a kid. And it's just like, how? Why? You can't do that. So I think Paco for sure plays. I cannot talk today. Paco for sure plays a big role in making the viewer want to care about Joe. Someone else, well, I guess there's not really no one else. That's like the main thing. In the book, we do get, so they did something different with Mooney. They have Mooney, he is crippled and he from a heart attack or a stroke, and he can't talk, and he pretty much just sits in front of the TV. So we don't even really get to see Mooney except for in a couple of flashback scenes, and then when Joe ends up taking Beck to visit him. And then it's like, so now not only did we give Joe an adorable kid, but now we gave him an old guy who needs assistance. Like, what? What? I was just sitting here watching this, like, and we're not supposed to root for Joe, even though Joe's doing all this horrible stuff, but you gave him a kid and an old crippled guy. Like, maybe it's just me, but if you didn't want us to root for Joe or to put Joe on this pedestal, then you probably should have took away some of those things that makes him more human. But yeah, so those two things for sure definitely aid in making Joe more likable in the show versus in the book. Because in the book, there is no Paco and Mooney is not crippled, but he's still present. And he's not, well, he was kind of, I can't remember. I believe he hinted to him being semi-abusive, like locking him up in the cage. But yeah. I don't know. So it was really interesting direction that they took as far as who to surround Joe by. Even the book, his coworker, which I guess he would be his employee, even he was kind of like, we got way more of him, I believe so, than in the book. And even he was super likable and had a good relationship with Joe. And it was just like, guys are really giving Joe a lot here. But yeah, so that was Paco. Paco's super adorable. And I think Paco's storyline, and who knows if we'll see Paco in a future season, just based on how we ended, it looks like him and his mom are moving away somewhere. And then we do know that Joe eventually goes, well, it sounds like they might be moved to the West Coast. And if that's the case, then we'll probably most likely see Paco again. But if we don't, then it's like, okay, because stuff that happens in the second book is also insane. I can't believe I read the second book based off of how I felt about the first book. Because I was just like, this is ridiculousness. Why am I reading this? And then I read the second book and I was just like, how? How is he getting away with all of this stuff? I don't understand. But yeah. So based on how we ended and knowing where we're going, I don't know if we're going to see Paco again, but I do think that Paco essentially has one of the more troubling, or you could say tragic type of stories, because we added Paco and Joe is a killer at the end of the day. And Paco witnesses Joe killing his mom's boyfriend and then telling him, like, sometimes you have to do these types of things for people you love. And so now it can go one of two ways. Paco grows up and turns into another Joe, or he grows up and turns into the opposite of Joe. So we honestly don't know, but he essentially, I mean, I kind of feel like he's on the journey to go towards another Joe, just based off of him showing up at the bookstore and him seeing Beck locked downstairs and not even helping her, like, turn around and leaving because he trusts Joe. Him and Joe have just like this special relationship. So at the end of the day, the one who comes out of this the most burned is Paco. But yeah, so I feel like I could talk about you for a long time because there's just so much to unpack in this. So yeah, let's keep talking. We have this private investigator. So we know Peach, who was also Peach, they did a good job of making her not likable in the show because she also was not likable in the book. And that came off perfectly on the show because when she died, I was like, okay, thank God, because she's just too much. And I think the thing that really frustrated me about Beck as a character is that she says this when she's writing her kind of like self story or whatever, like she surrounds herself with these girls who are essentially the people who she doesn't really like. And she surrounded herself with all these people who are pretty much using her for their own things. And she just could not realize it. Peach was one of them. Like, clearly Peach, it was something loose in her head. She was clearly faking all the illnesses that she had. She was super dramatic. She clearly had a thing for Beck. And either Beck just was that dumb or was just choosing not to realize it or choosing not to acknowledge it. But I'm just like, girl. And then Joe is a sociopath. I am sorry, but there are clear signs. And this is what frustrates me because, or maybe I'm just a very observant person, but there are clear signs when someone is crazy and you can for sure see them. And Joe is crazy. If you meet a guy and all of a sudden small things start disappearing, like your underwear, your phone, like little mementos, and you just met this guy in a random way, where, first of all, you met a guy, one, this is based in New York. You met a guy who saved you, putting it in quotes, from being hit by a train. And then you take a cab, get in the same cab with him to take you home. So now he knows where you live and you had your phone when you left, but, oh, you're so shaken up, you don't realize your phone is missing. And then in the end, when you find your phone, you're like, all of a sudden, all this stuff is connecting. Or even when Joe would just show up in places and you're just like, oh, I was just in the neighborhood. Like, no, you were following me. Like, there are clear signs, people. Even his lifestyle, or I don't want to say lifestyle, his life in general. I mean, yeah, when you're an adult, you don't have as many friends, but like, Joe was consistently hanging out with Beck and her friends to the point where it's like, so Joe, do you not have any friends? Like, are the only people you talk to a kid and your employee at the bookstore? Like, seriously? Like, you have too much time to hang out with Beck and her friends. And then hanging out with Beck's friends on his own. Like, there's all these signs. So I think that's one thing that frustrated me about Beck, because all these things are just happening around her that are super prevalent and she just is not realizing it. So I'm going to get off that soapbox, but some things that I'm glad that they did include in this was the jar of pee, because when we finally get to, and how that whole thing ended up with Peach dying is completely different from how she dies in the book. This one seems a little more, it still is in the sense that it is a suicide, but the way it was in the book, there were no guns involved, and I believe Beck was still at the house in the book when it happened. And the whole jar of pee thing just really stood out to me in the book during this. So when we got to finally going to Peach's house up in, I can't remember where it is. I want to say the Poconos, but I feel like that's not even a thing. Don't mind me. I'm like almost delirious here, but So when we get there, I'm like, oh my gosh, if they talk about this jar of pee, I'm like going to be one ecstatic, because that is just a detail that really stood out in the pee, and it trailed Joe throughout both books, was this jar of pee. So if they actually did that, I was going to be like, oh my gosh, okay, I'm all in now. And they actually did the jar of pee thing, which, you know, when you read something, you view it in your mind, and then you actually see how they interpret it on a show or a movie, and then it's like completely different. In the book, Joe ends up peeing into a mug. And so it's a mug of pee, and he's in the closet of a bedroom. So he ends up peeing into the mug and then leaving that mug of pee in the closet in that bedroom, where this one's a little bit different. It looks like he was in a pantry, and he peed into like a mason jar and then left it in the pantry, which I'm surprised they found it since it was like in a, I don't think it was a pantry. Maybe it was like a utility closet. I don't know. It was like some weird closet situation. So I was surprised they found it, because it looked like it was a lot of knickknacks in that closet. But yeah, so I was happy that they did the jar of pee, and which then leads us getting this private investigator, which we don't get in the books, because he is like kind of there, but they don't really say a lot about him. We more so find out about him through Beck's friends. And even in the end, after Beck dies, spoiler alert, after Beck dies and he does not believe, even he doesn't believe that how she wrote it, that the therapist ends up killing her. So I feel like we're not done with the private investigator. I feel like he's going to be the one who ties all of the knots and leads to trying to tie all these murders back to Joe, because you don't just introduce a PI and then expect them to just disappear, especially when we're talking about Jar P. So I just love that they included the Jar P. Like, that was the highlight of that episode for me. But yeah, also, speaking of deaths, which I didn't even notice until I was reading an article, and I think the article is an interview with co-creator Sarah Gamble, where she was talking about like the deaths of the women in the show, and most specifically about Peach, how we don't see, or no, it was Beck, where we don't see Beck die, because we know she dies, and it kind of cuts at Joe grabbing her by the head, and then it's 4 months later, and now Beck is like a super famous author, but she's dead. And so they were talking about like how we didn't need to see, I could be wrong if it was Sarah Gamble in the interview, but because now I'm thinking about it, I'm like, wait, was that her? Because there's so many articles about the finale, but how we don't really see it, and how they didn't want to contribute to unnecessarily showing women in death scenes. Like, if they were going to have a death scene, then it needs to make sense. And it didn't need to just be a death scene to be a death scene. And then I thought about it, and I was like, wait a minute. We actually don't see any of the women who die in this show. I mean, we do see Benji's death, which, I mean, I don't want to talk about like if a death scene is an intense death scene or not, because it just depends on the person watching it. But it wasn't a bloody death scene, but it was a troubling death scene, which also sounds wrong because it's a death scene. Someone's dying, so it's all troubling. But anyway, so we do see Benji die. We don't really see Candace's lover, how he died. We know that Joe pushed him off the roof, but we don't like see him hit the floor or hit the ground, which for the most part, when people die from falling off the top of a building in like a show or in a show or a movie, they usually don't show them hitting the ground, which I think is a good thing, because in real life, that would not be something that people would want to see. But as far as Beck and Peach, we don't see them die. And then Candace, I mean, we didn't see her die, but then lo and behold, she's still alive. So yeah. What else did I want to talk about, you guys? So some things that I did appreciate was we got to see, because the book is 100% from Joel's point of view, but we did get to see a little bit from Beck's point of view, which I appreciated. We got I believe it was the second episode where we started off that episode. So like the first half of the episode, I feel like it was more than half of that episode, was from Beck's POV, which I thought was super interesting just to switch it up a little bit. And then in the finale, we got to see it a little bit of her POV too, when she's typing up her story. And so we get to hear it in her voice. So yeah, I appreciated that. I think I hit every single thing that I wanted to talk about as far as bullet points. So I'm not going to drag this along. I will just say, I'm excited that this is already renewed for season 2. So I don't have to wait to see if it's going to be renewed, because I have some questions and I need some answers. I want to know what has been going on with Candace all this time. Where has she been? How do we get here? I want to know how Candace ties into season 2 in general, and then the story of Hidden Bodies, which is what season 2 will be based off of loosely. I'm saying loosely because Candace is alive, so she has to fit in there some way. But yeah, so I want to know about that. And I also just want to see, like, I want to see how they get Joel to LA, and I want to see how they do the second book, because for as much as both books frustrated me, I liked, I don't want to say it because then I don't want to give anything away about book 2, but I just loved the setting of the second book more than the first book, just because of how Joe pretty much immerses himself in the scene in LA, and just, it's so random, because then it's like, and this is what I mean, maybe that's the tell of a good book, because as much as I've had issues with the book overall, the books overall, and like the characters, because I was just like, I don't understand how Joe's getting away with all this stuff. And Joe is just not really likable in the book, but you still get pulled into the story to the point where you just want to find out if he ever gets caught or how he gets caught. And the second book is just like a random crazy ride. And so I'm excited to see what they do with season 2 as far as in relation to Hidden Bodies book 2, because I don't know. So I'll just leave it at that, because I don't want to give anything away. But that also just made me think about just Joe in general, when I was talking about how much they humanized him in the show versus the books. And even in the finale, because we are talking about finales, but even in the finale, that whole dialogue that he had with Beck when he was talking about what Mooney did for him, you're just like, oh my gosh, like you felt for him and you're not supposed to. So yeah, I think that it was very interesting what they did as far as with Joe and the people they put around him. And maybe that just speaks to Penn Badgley, because he plays creepy really well, but then he also plays like vulnerability really well. So you're just watching it and you're like, he is so creepy. But then in the next scene, you're just like, oh my gosh, why do I care about you? I don't know. I feel like I'm going to start going in the circles. So yeah, that was You on Lifetime, the first season. I am super pleased with how they did this. I did think they did it tastefully, and I think they translated this from book to screen very well, because I was worried about how they were going to do that, just based on a lot of how the book, like when you're reading it, how it is. So I think they did that very, very well. And I am excited for season 2. Cannot wait. But that is pretty much all I have, guys. Like I said, we are gearing up for our mid-season finale episode. So I'm not sure what the next episode is going to be about. If it's going to be a movie or if it's going to be TV. I feel like it's going to be a movie, because there are some things that are coming out this upcoming weekend, the weekend of the 16th, that I'm pretty sure I'm going to see. So stay tuned for that. It'll either, the next episode will either be about a movie or will be about TV, because there are some things that I need to watch on Netflix as well. Oh, wait, no. Wait, you guys, I'm like completely blanking. How to Get Away with Murder's finale is this Thursday. So that for sure is coming up next, because then it's a few weeks before we get the rest of our mid-season finale. So How to Get Away is for sure coming up next. I told you guys, I'm like in a semi-delusional state. But yeah, that is that. Let me know what you guys thought about the series finale of The Last Ship and the first season finale of You. As always, you can find me on all social media at InHerGlam, InHerGlam. And I will talk to you guys in the next one.